Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may your love and your word and your truth and your hope rain down upon us now. Open our hearts and our minds to see and hear your good news that changes lives and changes the world. In Jesus' name, amen. I see you. It's the line used by just a few parents I know when they want to make sure their children know that they see them, right? It's also a new tagline I've seen on social media. Sometimes as people are sharing, perhaps a loved one has died, or perhaps they're coming out, or perhaps they're venting, and people will respond. Maybe you've seen this. I see you, right? I get you. I appreciate you. I love you. I understand you. I see you. To be seen can be a great gift. If you know that feeling of having lunch with an old friend and sharing stories with someone who knew you when, who knows a few stories that can only be shared between the two of you, perhaps, then you know that feeling of being seen. If you know that feeling of walking into a crowded airport and off of an airplane and looking in the crowd for someone who's supposed to pick you up and saying, I see her, she's there. Or perhaps being on the receiving end and hearing someone shout out, I see you. To be seen is a great gift, isn't it? To be seen can also be a little bit scary. We close our blinds at night, right? Because you can see into houses more clearly when it's dark outside and light inside. We don't want people driving by and looking in. We create passwords so only certain people can see our private information. We have lots of ambivalence, most of us, about those security cameras or, you know, especially now they have them at front doors even, and Alexa and all those other devices which allow us to be seen and heard in ways we're not always quite comfortable with. Do you know this story of Zacchaeus? When Jesus saw the rich tax collector Zacchaeus up in the tree, he said what was surely the first century equivalent to, I see you. The Bible tells us that he was walking along in the crowds and Zacchaeus had climbed up the tree to see him and Jesus looks up and says, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. Many of us learned this story in Sunday school, right? Some of you may be a bit fuzzy on the details, but maybe you know the song. I remember a couple years ago, I preached on this for a different purpose, and you sang the song with me, so I hope you'll help me again, some of you who know. I'm looking over there at Madeline because I know she knows it, but I won't make you do a solo, Madeline. So if you know it, sing along, and maybe this will help you if you don't know the story so well. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And when the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today. So in the chronology of the Gospel of Luke, you may want to just go home. Luke is so full of so many amazing stories, and a lot of them are about money and possession. So the one we hear today is about this rich guy named Zacchaeus. The story comes right after Jesus, we learn that Jesus is heading towards Jerusalem, towards his final days, and the crowds are mumbling and grumbling. The word was spreading like wildfire about Jesus. His miracles, his teachings, his wisdom. Some people were starting to squirm in their seats when he said certain things. And the story in Luke 19 follows a chapter in which Jesus, you may remember this one, tells the rich young ruler to go and sell all that he has and give it to the poor. You may remember that story because it's the one that ends with the line that a lot of us have wrestled with. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Zacchaeus, you see, was extremely wealthy and rich. And he may have heard, as people do talk, I know that doesn't happen at Trinity, but people do talk, right, about what people say. Did you hear, you know? And so Zacchaeus may have heard that Jesus had said this to this other gentleman, and perhaps he wondered to himself if there was a place for him at the heavenly banquet table. Our children's Bibles don't tell us so much about some of the grown-up struggles of Zacchaeus. As George Hermanson, Pastor George Hermanson puts it, he said, you see, Zacchaeus, though he may have been short, wasn't a cute little Danny DeVito figure. He was a short, nasty man, or at least that's the way the rule followers thought of him, particularly their religious community. He was the one who was the chief tax collector, which meant he had many more dirty, stealing tax collectors working for him, and they were working for the hated Roman Empire. And he was part of the reason that life was so miserable for some of the people of his time. Or at least, that's what people thought. When the crowds heard that Jesus was going to his house, you know, Jesus always has a way of turning things upside down. It's not what we see at first. It's always different. And so the crowds grumbled amongst themselves. Zacchaeus, he's not worthy. He doesn't follow the rules of giving. He doesn't come to church every Sunday, right? He's a cheater. But Jesus had a way of seeing things, has a way of seeing things differently, and he looks up at Zacchaeus, and he sees him perched up there in that tree, and he sees a child of God, a child of Abraham, he says. And he says, come on down. You don't have to hide. I see you. I see you. In the Message version of this, we read that Zacchaeus scrambled out of the tree. I can just see him trying to hang up. I mean, trees aren't very big in the Middle East. So here he was, sort of short and stout and trying to get a glimpse. So he's hardly believing his good luck, the scripture reads, and he's delighted to take Jesus home with him. And everyone who saw that was indignant, and they grumped, it says in the Message version. What business does this guy have getting cozy with this crook? And after Zacchaeus comes down, he stands there for a minute, and he's just stunned that Jesus saw him. And he says, Master, I give away half of my income, half to the poor. And if I'm caught cheating, I pay four times the damage. That's a lot of money, isn't it? Even for someone who's rich. It was Martin Luther, the great reformer, the Protestant Reformation, you know the name from church history, who first spoke of three conversions: conversion of the heart, conversion of the mind, and conversion of the purse, or as my grandmother calls it, a pocketbook, right? Or a man purse, or your checkbook, whatever it is you carry, right? That symbolizes your money. And some people say that Zacchaeus experienced all three of those conversions that day. Some people say, and in the original Greek, I was learning some of this week, which just opened my mind and heart. Some people say that his heart had already been changed and he was already doing these things, and the crowds around him just did not know how generous he was. They stereotyped him. Whatever the case, John Wesley's commentary, our good old John Wesley, United Methodist founder, says, Zacchaeus is proof that with God, anything is possible. By the power of God, it is possible for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Whew, because we're all in that boat, right? Just about all of us here are rich by the world's standards. But here's the good news that I want you to see this morning. Jesus sees us, just like he saw Zacchaeus, for who we really are. The good, the bad, and the ugly. We are all saints. We are all sinners. If we're rich and we're comfortable and we have all we need and no material wants and needs, Jesus sees us and loves us. If we're not sure right now how we're even going to get enough food on the Thanksgiving table, things are that tight, Jesus sees us and loves us. If we're struggling with debt and filled with anxiety about that right now, Jesus sees us and loves us. If we're embarrassed because we can't give more to the church this year, or maybe we have to give less because of where we are with our finances, and this pledge card thing just makes us feel really awkward, Jesus sees you, sees us, and loves us. And if our hearts are full and we're excited about what giving has come to mean to us, Jesus sees us and loves us. And here's the other part, though, of the good news. Jesus is also saying to you and me, I need you, Trinity people, to see some folks this morning in the way Jesus sees them. We already do that so well here at Trinity in the ways we share out of all we've been given. But Jesus is always, always wanting us to open our hearts and our minds and our purses and our checkbooks and our banking accounts to share in new ways. And so Jesus says to us, do you see? Do you see the children at the borders? Do you see all those folks testifying at the hearings this week, some of whom we want to call crazy, others we cheer for? Do you see them as Jesus sees them? Do you see the children down the street, just over this direction, friends, half a mile from us at the schools where they're still going home, even though we have given so much to fill their backpacks with food? There's still many of them going home hungry on the weekends because there's not enough food to eat. Do you see children and youth and young adults who are suicidal because they have been told that being gay goes against what God wants for them? Do you see friends right here in our pews who are lonely? Do you see families right here at Trinity, many of our young families whose lives are full but whose hearts are sometimes way too empty? Do you see them as Jesus sees them? Jesus says to us, see what we can do together if we really see people for who they are as Jesus sees them. If we go to their house or into their lives and meet them where they are and open our hearts and our minds and our bank accounts even to the power of the good news flowing through us. I love these words from Wesley. This is from his sermon, The Use of Money. It speaks to what a gift it can be to those who need Jesus. Our money may be, he writes, of unspeakable service, of doing all manner of good, answering the noblest ends, food for the hungry, drink for the thirsty, raiment in that old-fashioned language, clothing for the naked, means of health to the sick, of ease to them that are in pain, eyes to the blind, feet to the lame, a lifter up from the gates of death. What we do with what we have been given and how we see people as Jesus sees them can save lives, in other words. It is the gift of salvation. In the end, the story of Zacchaeus is a story of giving. He gives. He gives abundantly and generously. But it's not a story of how to give in order to get something in return. Salvation, Jesus says, has already come to his house. It's not a story, as some preachers would tell you, of giving in order to get a blessing. You may be blessed through your giving. I trust you will be. But that's not why we give. It's not a quid pro quo, right, as we have heard in the news this week. That's not the way God works. Amen? That's not the way the grace of God works, because the grace of God comes to us undeserved. It is a gift. And our giving of any kind, whether it be our money, our lives, our talents, is in response to being seen and known and loved by a gracious God, to be seen by Jesus. We are at our best when we give, when we share, when the walls of our heart come crashing down under the gaze of the one who calls us by name, who comes to our house, who comes into our lives and our hearts, sits with us in our pews, is in the house. Jesus is in the house today. I love this prayer, or this saying, because it reminds me, you know, there's a difference between somebody just coming up to you and saying, be grateful, right? It's like my grandmother saying to me, eat your rutabagas. Be grateful. They're starving children. So, have you had a rutabaga? It's not a pleasant experience, but I need to relearn it, I think. Yes. Back then, when I was 9 years old, it was not a pleasant experience. So that is not what God is saying to us. Be grateful. What God wants us to hear is that we have so much to be grateful for, right? When we reach down deep inside, there is so much abundance. And so thank you is enough. Trinity people, I see you. God sees you, most importantly. God loves you just as you are, wherever you are in your struggle, as we've been talking about with earning and saving and giving, whatever's on your commitment card this morning. God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. As a friend of mine likes to say, we are priceless and precious in God's sight, and yet God doesn't want to leave us where we are either. In John Wesley's words, we are moving on to perfection. And friends, perfection is not a perfect 10. It's spiritual maturity. It's the goal of having our hearts opened in such a way that love overflows into the world. So today, let's offer ourselves. Let's offer our gifts, whether it be the widow's mite or the great amount that came out of Zacchaeus' bank account or somewhere in between. Let's offer our gifts in thanksgiving for the love of God and Jesus, for the love we share and are going to be able to share here at Trinity in the next year, and for the power we've been given to see others as Jesus sees them and to know that love in our own hearts so that it might be shared with the whole world. Let's see what God will do because of us, our living and our giving. May it be so. Amen.